Good evening. It's a pleasure to see everyone. I know the congregation is encouraged by everyone's presence, and so am I. Want to also thank the congregation for including me in this series of studies. If I remember somewhat correctly, it was either the latter part of 1980 or the first part of 1981 that I first preached in this building to these people, and I've preached several times since then. But I've always enjoyed having association with members here at Taylor, and still do. The subject that has been assigned me this evening, as you can see, is Holy Spirit made overseers. This, of course, is based upon Acts 20 and verse 28. But before I read that and further make comments, am I being heard all right in the back of the building? Can you hear all right back there?
Yes, sir.
What? Mike, you hearing okay? Some say yeah, one says no.
One's old and one's young.
I don't have a lot of volume, never did have, but Harold Fite and I both preached in Irving at different congregations back when we both first started doing local work. He had done some preaching along with Leon and another church. I never have wished I had his voice instead of mine, but I do wish I had a voice that could be heard like his. But anyway, I'll try to be heard as best I can. Back to Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul, speaking to the elders from Ephesus, said, "Take heed unto yourselves and all of the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood." The flock over the which the Holy Spirit made you overseers. That statement in Acts 20 and 28, as well as the subject that was assigned me, indicates that there may be some overseers that are serving as overseers that are not Holy Spirit made overseers. Holy Spirit made overseers will receive a crown of glory when the chief shepherd appears, 1 Peter 5:4. Hebrews 13 and 17, those that are just serving as overseers and not Holy Spirit made overseers are going to give an account to God. So this is a very important subject. When any man agrees to serve as an overseer in a congregation, it is a tremendous undertaking, a tremendous obligation, and I don't believe that any man who is a Holy Spirit made overseer would undertake that obligation and that work except for one purpose, and that is to do the best he can in using his life and his body in the service of God. I've known some men that almost campaigned to be appointed an elder in a congregation. But those men that I've known like that, had they been appointed, wouldn't have been a Holy Spirit made overseer. Anyone that's desiring a position of prestige is not a Holy Spirit made overseer and should not be appointed by a congregation. But when a man has matured, not only in years, but in spiritual maturity, loves the truth and loves the people, he's glad to take on himself the humble position of being an overseer. You say, an humble position? Yes, that's what it is. Overseers are servants of the congregation, not contrariwise. The first point I would like to make after that introduction is that men that desire the work have to be, men have to desire the work if they're going to be made Holy Spirit made overseers. You said you spoke disparagingly a while ago about some that desired the work, but for the wrong purpose. Men that desire an office, no. Men that desire the work, understand the work and do the work, are the ones that can be appointed as Holy Spirit made overseers. So one must first desire to do the work. It's sad, but in my association with congregations and elderships, I have concluded that there are lots of overseers in congregations that are serving as overseers that aren't Holy Spirit made overseers. And you may ask, how do you arrive at that conclusion? Simply because they either didn't know the work of elders, or if they knew it, they weren't doing it. And for one to be a Holy Spirit made overseer, he must know the work of an elder, and he must be zealously doing it. The next thing that I want to do is to note the qualifications. And it's not my purpose in this lesson tonight, nor in the assignment given me, to go in detail on these. I simply want to read them, first starting with Titus 1 and verse 5. "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word of God as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers." Turning back now to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and beginning with verse 1. "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy for filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he care for the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil." For overseers to be Holy Spirit overseers, they must know these qualifications and meet these qualifications. However, I would also point out that with the exception of about four things that we read, these are also qualifications of every Christian. Every Christian doesn't have to be husband of one wife, having children. Every overseer doesn't have to be apt to teach. That word means a skillful teacher. All ought to be teaching the best of their ability. But an overseer is one that has experience and is apt to teach. But for most of these, everybody is to have them. But elders, Holy Spirit made overseers, have these to a superlative degree. Holy Spirit made overseers understand the work that God has assigned for overseers in a congregation to do. And just you look at the next one, and they do it. These two go together. First, I would like to note four words that indicate or give us some insight to the work. First is the Greek word that's translated elder. Because of other qualifications, we know that a Holy Spirit made overseer must have had a good many birthdays. But that's not really the thing that this is centering in on. One must be of spiritual age and experience. And that does take birthdays. But birthdays are not the significant thing. One must be one that has studied the Word of God, giving himself to living it, teaching it, and encouraging others to teach it. The next word is a word that's translated overseer or bishop in Acts 20 and 28. It has to do with the scope of the work, at least in part. Insofar as congregational functions are concerned, the scope of the work is the flock over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Holy Spirit made overseers don't try to get control of funds or work of other congregations. And Holy Spirit made overseers don't try to shift their responsibility off to elders of another congregation. They know that they oversee all of the functions of the congregation in congregational capacity. You may be wondering why I said at least in part when I said Acts 20 and 28 talks about the scope, but it doesn't quite get it all, because we learn from Hebrews 13 and 17 that they watch for the souls, and that's whether they're congregated or not. That's whether it's congregational action or not. If a member of the congregation starts straying, while it has nothing to do with congregational function, the overseer does have the assigned work to try to bring back that lost sheep, Hebrews 13 and 5. Also, and we will develop this a little later as a fuller point, but I need to mention it here, Holy Spirit made overseers lead the flock. Hebrews 13 and 17, obey them that have the rule over you, the King James says. Both the ESV and the New American Standard, instead of rule, have the word lead there. The ESV simply says, obey your leaders. And the word translated rule there is the same word translated chief in Luke 22, 22 through 25, where Jesus said, the Gentiles have their leaders that exercise lordship over them, but it shall not be so among you. But he that would be chief among you, that word chief is the same word in the Greek as rule in Hebrews 13, 17. He that would be your ruler or your leader would have been a better translation. Let him be the servant of all. So Holy Spirit made overseers are servants of all. So we see that the work of Holy Spirit made overseers is to oversee the flock, to lead the flock. And 1 Peter 5, 2, depending on what translation you're reading, feed the flock of God which is among you, tend the flock of God which is among you, or shepherd the flock of God which is among you. I believe shepherd is the best word because it encompasses the other two. One that shepherds a flock feeds the flock, and one that shepherds the flock cares for the flock or tend to the flock. They'll provide the food for the sheep, and if one strays, he'll tend to that. He'll bring it back. If one gets sick, he'll tend to that. So elders have the obligation of shepherding the flock, watching for their souls, feeding the flock. As we read in 1 Timothy 3:5, care for the church of God. When it says that elders are to feed the flock, it doesn't mean they have to do all of the teaching. In John chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 2, Jesus said that his disciples baptized, or John was told that Jesus baptized more disciples than John was doing. Then in verse 3 it says, though he baptized not, but his disciples. Well, if Jesus baptized when his disciples did the actual immersing, elders are feeding the flock when they do the actual teaching, but elders also are feeding the flock when they oversee the teaching of truth. If we look at the other side of that coin, I believe you can clearly see that and will definitely agree with me on it. If elders are supporting and overseeing men to teach error, they're going to have to give an account. They're not watching for the souls. The elder can't say, well, he's doing it, I'm not, if he's overseeing the function. Flip the coin back over, just so when elders oversee the teaching of the truth, they are also credited with teaching the truth. And that which elders are to feed the flock is stated in Acts 20 and verse 32, after telling them to feed the flock over the which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, is the word of God. And now I commend you to God and the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. So elders have the work of overseeing all congregational functions, watching for the souls committed to their care, whether in congregational capacity or not. And let me put in a parenthetical statement there, lest I be misunderstood. I'm not indicating that elders take the oversight of the homes of the members of the congregation, but they do watch for the independent souls of the members of the congregation. But, Brother Jenkins, I thought elders' main responsibility was to make decisions for the congregation. It's strange when you read about the qualifications of the work of elders, that's never mentioned. And yet most brethren think that's the it. Many elderships meet in closed-door meetings, make decisions, tell the congregation we decided and this is what we're going to do. They're asking for trouble when they do that. Members can just be pushed so far. They'll realize that that's not the way they ought to be leading. Elders are to lead the flock as a shepherd leads the sheep. Several years ago, I knew of a congregation that was looking for a preacher. And one of their elders was at a meeting that I was also at. And I asked him this question. Has the church there decided on whom they're going to invite to be the next preacher? And his answer was this. It's almost settled, but not quite settled yet. I'll tell you who he is, but you keep that private because we don't want the members of the congregation to know whom we're considering until it's a settled deal and we can tell them that this man is going to come. Knowing that preacher, that rocked my heels. That's not the way elders lead. In a congregation where one of my kids used to worship, the elders told the congregation, if you have a preacher in mind that you would like for us to consider, don't come and tell us. Don't bother us with it. You can tell him if he's interested, he can contact us. Well, that's not quite as bad as the first one that I mentioned, but that's not the way elders function. Elders take into consideration the flock, and that brings us to the next point. They understand the rule of elders. How do elders rule? Well, they rule by leading the flock. And that includes by leading the flock in making harmonious decisions in matters of any moment. I'm aware of the fact that any eldership is going to make some decisions without feeling the pulse of the flock. Any deacon's going to also. Any Bible class teacher's going to also. But when it comes to matters of any moment, elders that are Holy Spirit made overseers don't meet in closed door meetings, make the decision and say, now we made the decision, Hebrews 13:17 says, you obey, you submit. They lead the flock in harmonious decisions. They feel the pulse of the flock when there are matters that matter much. And if elders will do that, they're not likely to have any problem in the congregation. Over at Benchley, if you'll pardon the personal illustration, when there are matters of any moment to be decided, we take it to the congregation, make an announcement about it. We'd like your input. We had one man tell us, well, if you do that, you're letting the congregation rule you instead of you rule the congregation. Well, it's not a matter of anybody ruling anybody. It's a matter of elders leading the congregation into a harmonious decision. When we tell the people what we would like to do, with very few exceptions, we get just a few comments because they're satisfied with that. But there have been a few times when there have been some objections. And there have been a few times when after the elders told what they would prefer to do on a certain circumstance and felt the pulse of the congregation, since it was a matter not of truth, but of selecting specifics to carry out generic authority, elders acquiesced in the matter and did what the congregation wanted to do. Just the latest illustration in regard to that, the congregation has always, with two exceptions, where we had a weekend meeting in the 19 plus years we've been there, we've always had Sunday through Friday meetings. Someone suggested last year that we have a Sunday through Wednesday meeting. Both elders stated that we still prefer Sunday through Friday meetings, but we felt the pulse of the flock, and most preferred Sunday through Wednesday meetings. Our next four meetings are scheduled Sunday through Wednesday. Elders could have said, no, we want Sunday through Friday. The congregation would have taken that. But my point is, that's not the way elders lead a congregation. Feel the flock's pulse. Just like a dad is not a dictator in the house, but he will take into consideration the wife's feelings and the children when they get up big enough to put input. Elders understand that they are not lords over God's heritage. 1 Peter 5 and 3. But they are shepherds leading the flock. In fact, we read in Titus 1:7, as stewards of God. We know what a steward is, don't we? A steward's one that manages goods, but not his own. He manages the goods of another. And elders recognize, Holy Spirit elders recognize, that they are managing the goods of the Lord Jesus Christ, or of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit of deity. And we must be careful how we manage them, not for our own benefit and to satisfy our own desires, but that first which pleases God, and then that which is best for the congregation. Let me hasten to say that in matters of where the Scripture specifies a thing, elders that are Holy Spirit-made elders will take a firm stand, and they will veer neither to the left or the right, whether the congregation likes it or not. But in matters of selecting generic specifics to carry out generic authority, elders need to lead the flock into a harmonious decision. Someone may say, well, it won't work. Well, in over 19 years, it hadn't failed to work over at Benchley. And I believe it will work anywhere when elders understand just what their lead or what their rule is, and then lead the congregation, taking into consideration their wishes, their desires, what they think would be best. All elders are the most mature men of the congregation. They're still men. And other men of the congregation in some instances may have better insight to a thing than what they do. And when an elder or eldership gets to where it thinks that it can call all of the shots without considering the congregation, it appears to me that they're thinking too highly of themselves and, to use a Holy Spirit word, lording it over God's heritage. Men that understand the rule, and thus men that lead the flock in all congregational functions. And men that beyond that understand and do their assignment of watching for the souls of the flock. I don't know how many times I've had this happen, or I know other preachers have had it happen also. An elder come to me and ask me, do you know what's happened, and call someone's name? He hadn't been here in several weeks. The elder ought to never ask that question. He ought to be the first to know why. He's not watching for the souls of the flock. And Hebrews 13, 17, as we've noticed twice already, says he's going to give an account. So we're talking about serious things, not only for men who are serving as elders in a congregation, who will give an account if they do not serve as they should, but also a serious matter for the flock that permits it. I have been told more than once by some people that I know some of the things this congregation is doing is wrong, the congregation where they were members, not this one, that this congregation is doing doesn't have authority, but the elders are leading the church to do that, and they'll have to give an account, but I won't because I know it's wrong. Well, that's very mixed up thinking. When that's the case with elders, we have a verse that takes care of that too. Verses, 1 Timothy 5, 19 and 20. Against an elder, receive not a railing accusation except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Them that lead in sin, they're going to be condemned, but you'll be all right. If you ever read it, you know that's not what it says. Them that sin rebuke before all. While the flock's told to follow the congregation when it leads in truth, the flock's told to rebuke the congregation when it leads in error. And so if it is a matter of truth, the eldership must stand. But in matters of carrying out generic authority by selecting specifics, any number of which might do the job, and any one of which is scriptural, elders, if it's a matter of any moment at all, feel the flock's pulse. And when an eldership leads that way, it's not going to have much problem. Holy Spirit made overseers of men that are examples worthy to be imitated. Brethren, everything I said is important, and I believe everything I've said is in harmony with the Scripture. If not, well, I'm Apollos, and you're Aquila and Priscilla, and treat me like they did, so I can do like Apollos did, get right. But all of these things are important, but this is as important as any of the things that I've said, any of the qualifications to be a Holy Spirit appointed elder. In fact, it all rests upon this. One can desire the work. He can know what it is. He can be doing the work of overseeing and even watching for the souls that go astray. He can take the congregation in consideration and lead the flock in the right way. If his life is not for God, he's not a Holy Spirit appointed overseer. Everything above that just crumbles. You knock this one out and everything falls. Examples worthy to be imitated. The overseers of a congregation, if they're Holy Spirit appointed, are men that parents can tell their children, pay close attention to the way he lives and imitate that, as well as saying, I'm going to do so also. In conclusion, summed up, Holy Spirit made overseers lead, feed, watch for the souls committed to their care, all the while setting the proper example for the flock to imitate. Like I said a moment ago, I believe I've set forth the truth on what it is to be Holy Spirit made overseers. I have believed some things were the truth that I later found out weren't. And I'm still studying and learning. So if I need to learn more on this, will somebody teach me? I'll listen just like Apollos did. But I hope these things are beneficial. While this lesson has been for Christians, and we've got a few elders here this evening that I see as I look around, I would appreciate you coming. We are concerned about the souls of each individual also. And the next song we'll lead is usually referred to as an invitation song. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're without hope and without God in this world, Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. And there's not but one way you can correct that, and that's what Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom, told the people to do in Acts 2, 37, when they asked men and brethren, what shall we do? His answer was, to these new made believers in Jesus. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit there is the gift that Joel had promised back in Joel 2:32, and Peter had just quoted in Acts 2:21, just a few verses back up. That was, when the great notable day of the Lord comes, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So one who hears, believes, repents, and is baptized is calling on the name of the Lord. His sins will be forgiven, and he will be then a participant in all of the attendant blessings that rest upon the Abrahamic promise of the Lord Jesus Christ coming. There may be some here that obeyed the gospel, but you've gone back to the beggarly elements of the world. If that's so, we beg you to come back to King Jesus and beg him to reinstate your citizenship by repenting of your sins and praying to God for forgiveness. If we can help anyone, please come as we sing.